This is the Building Resilience Podcast, episode 191, Nervous System Resilience and Weight Loss, with special guest Kathy Hartman. Welcome to Building Resilience, a podcast where theory, practical strategies, and inspiring stories show you how to unlock your best life. I'm your host, Leah Davidson. As a certified life coach, speech-language pathologist, and nervous system resilience expert, it is my mission to teach you how to be more resilient to life's adversities. I will show you how to manage your mind, befriend your nervous system, process your emotions, and even eliminate stress. It's time to do more than just survive. It's time to thrive. Let's get started. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Building Resilience Podcast. Now, before we get started with today's amazing episode, I wanted to just remind you that the next cohort of the Advanced Training in Nervous System Resilience starts mid-September. The doors are going to open shortly, so make sure that you are on my wait list. Keep your eyes peeled so you can be the first to sign up. It is going to be amazing. I love, love, love this training. I love seeing the transformation people have personally and professionally. I love more people joining our community because it is awesome. So stay tuned and reach out if you have any questions. I'm happy to jump on a one-on-one call with you to talk about the training. Now, today, I'm excited to have on this episode Kathy Hartman. Kathy is actually a graduate of my advanced training in nervous system resilience, and I wanted to bring her on because she is a weight loss coach, and I just love how right away, as soon as she started the training, she started using what she was learning about her own nervous system, how to befriend her own nervous system with her weight loss clients as well. So let me tell you a little bit about Kathy. Kathy changed her life in 2019. After losing 80 pounds, she left her government accounting job to become a no BS coach. Kathy has a passion for helping women lose weight and create their most deliberate and purposeful life. Kathy not only coaches weight loss, self-worth, and relationships, but she is well-versed in how your nervous system can react to triggers from trauma or other instances of discomfort in your life. She can teach you how or why you use urges to eat or drink to feel better or find comfort, and how to develop tools that help you to find safety and comfort without using food. Kathy is a mom to two incredible sons, grandmother to six beautiful children. She is a breast cancer survivor and a woman who understands the power of knowing herself and embracing the ups and downs of life to create the next best version of herself. Please enjoy the conversation with Kathy Hartman. Okay, well, I am so happy to introduce my guest, Kathy. I am going to let you share a little bit about yourself, Kathy, personally and professionally, and then just lead us right into how did you meet your nervous system? So go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm Kathy Hartman. I am a 32-year government accountant turned life coach. Kind of a fun story. I met my mentor, Corinne Crabtree, of the No BS Weight Loss Program, in 2019 at a church retreat. And if any of your listeners know Corinne, that's kind of an anomaly to meet Corinne at a church retreat, because she is she's rather brassy.
On its own, I'm guessing.
Yes. But she was a keynote speaker, and I was about 230 pounds. And for the first time in my life, somebody talking about weight loss made sense. You know, it's not count this, do that. It's how about eating when you're hungry? How about stopping before your Thanksgiving Day stuffed? So I came home and told my husband, you know what? This girl makes sense. You know, I don't have to count points. I don't have to like only eat hot dogs and beets. I can lose weight just by changing how much I eat. So over the course of about 18 months, I lost 80 pounds, and I got to know Corinne really well, and I got to know what she was doing in her business, which was, at the time, weight loss coaching. She went to life coach school, decided to kind of expand her business into not only here's how you lose weight, but here's why you're overweight and how you can fix that. And I ended up leaving my job and joining her. Big leap of faith, right?
Right.
Probably nervous system introduction number one there.
Without you even knowing it, yeah.
Right. Was leaving this stable job to go work for an online entrepreneur. So over time, I too became a life coach. And I helped her build the business. I did a lot of back-end work, did some coaching, a lot of back-end work. But I really found my heart in coaching and went back to doing that full-time last year. That brings us to about, 2 months after that, the head coach at NoBS saying, you know, I heard about this girl, Leah Davidson, and she teaches about the nervous system, and she has an advanced training. You should check it out. So I did. Mm-hmm. And everything started to come together. You know, I had this coaching background now. I had this weight loss background. I was trying to help people figure out why they couldn't lose weight or had gained weight. And here comes Leo with this, you know, your nervous system could get really jacked up, which can cause you to eat. And I was like, but we got to do this. So I wrote Corinne a proposal. I said, I really think this could be a missing link at NoBS. And she 100% agreed, and I went through your training.
Yeah.
And it's been amazing. I can tell you that not only have I been able to apply so much of your training to weight loss, I've been able to apply it to myself. I didn't realize how jacked up my nervous system got. I would get on these membership calls. We have a pretty big membership. And I would get on these membership calls and, you know, for like 30 minutes beforehand, I could not stay out of the bathroom. I mean, no joke. Now I know that was my nervous system talking to me.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, you were getting into that stress response.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think the big thing for me was not just learning all this so I could apply it to our members, which is going brilliantly, by the way, but helping myself show up in a different way, in a more confident way, because now I know what's going on in my body.
And that's what I wanted to bring you on to talk a little bit about, sort of your niche. But it's so exciting for me. It was awesome having you in the training and to hear your insights and how things were changing in your life personally and professionally. But it is exciting for me that you do have a large reach, that you have been working with Corinne, which is somebody that I've looked up to. I'm going through my own training at Life Coach School and watching her just be incredible. And to see your reach. And it's exciting for me that you are sharing. So the nervous system is not my thing. I didn't make it up. We all have one. But I love that I sort of took my sauce, my recipe, shared it with you. And now you're creating your sauce and your recipe. And you're sharing it with people who will create their sauce and their recipe, because all our nervous systems are completely unique. And I just love being a part of that. So thank you as well for allowing me to be a part of that, to share the word that our nervous system does matter. And it makes
absolutely
a difference. And it matters in every area. I've talked in the podcast before about how the nervous system matters in relationships, in parenting, in work. I did an episode not so long ago about how it matters in driving. And today I really want to talk about how does it matter in weight loss. Why is it important to learn about your nervous system if you're trying to lose weight, but more importantly, if you want to maintain a healthy lifestyle, a healthy weight, what does the nervous system have to do with weight loss?
Yeah. For our members, it has, for lots of them, has a lot to do with it. Because what happens, you know, as you talk about with Team Hypo and Team Hyper, what happens? We use the terms home base and NoBS.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you think about getting anxious and adding all that energy to your system, unless you realize it and can catch it, your body stores the response that it needs in order to regulate your nervous system. You know, we often talk in NoBS about how when you were a baby and you squawked a little bit, first thing your mama did was stick a bottle in your mouth.
That's
so
right.
That learned response of eating to make yourself feel better, unless it's challenged, it just always stays with you. Mm-hmm. So I think about my times when I was 230 pounds working for the state, I would get overwhelmed or stressed and I would go to the candy bowl. I mean, I would take a walk, which is movement, right? But I would go to the candy bowl. And by the time I had finished that rhythmic chewing and swallowing, I felt better.
Right.
The problem is when I talk about this in our membership, I will tell them, I'll say, absolutely, eating is regulating.
Yeah.
It's that rhythmic chewing and swallowing. Your body wants to return to homeostasis. That's what you know. but it doesn't resolve the issue. It doesn't teach you how to create a nervous system or a response to that nervous system that helps you feel better. It doesn't teach you to regulate in different ways.
And I wonder too, I would offer that it is a temporary regulation because it sort of dies off. And so then you need the next hit.
So, yes.
Which is kind of everything when we talk about the world around addiction right now is taking a different look at what addiction is. And addiction, whether it be to food or to drink or to work or to social media, really as being an adaptive response to a way of regulation. The challenge becomes is it is helpful for a short period of time until it wears off and you need that next hit, so to speak. So it's almost a false regulation. It works. This is why so many of us go to it, because it actually does work. It does feel good. Like there's nothing better in some sense of having that hit, that fix of that felt good. Mm-hmm. But then what happens afterwards? And what do I need to do to get that hit of regulation again?
What happens a lot of times afterwards with our members is, see, I can't control myself. I must be broken. I can't do anything but eat. How do I stop? And that also, as you know, jacks up your nervous system when you fall into self-judgment land. So those are the two big areas I work on with members, is how to find ways other than eating, what they inherently do already to calm themselves, and kind of building on those tools to help them find other ways they can try and regulate while they can still have that conscious brain online, that CEO part of their brain online.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, and I know that when you were saying the inner critic, so to speak, that voice that we have, I love that you pointed out that's like a direct red flag for you that you are dysregulated when you start hearing her chatter.
Yeah.
You start hearing her, regardless if the things that she's saying, regardless if she's trying to hype you up or push you down, when we are critical with ourselves, we get activated. And so when you hear that voice, it is the indicator, I need to do something to regulate myself. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, the inner critic is fascinating. So what do you tell your members? What do you tell people? How do you regulate?
Sometimes I'll just ask them initially, tell me what you do that feels good, that brings you a sense of calm. What do you do in your peaceful times? And we start there. But I'm always hitting your five core pillars. On almost every call, I tell them how important sunlight and sleep and nutrients and movement and those things are. I'm always hitting those and giving them that core basis to start with. Mm-hmm. I also use my own examples. It's interesting because I think I figured out that what I inherently do, that I do something inherently, like I'll give you an example. When I get overwhelmed at work, I find myself walking the house. Mm. It's like, so in order to create safety around what I've got going on at work, I give myself space, I burn off a little energy, and by the time I get back to my desk, I know my next step. So I talk about that a lot. There's something everyone does. Maybe it's eating, but there might be something else in order to kind of bring themselves back into regulation. So I always start there with them, and then I'll start offering them tips. I have seen coaches give a list of 30 things to try, and I won't do that. I think that's too much. I think you have to start with really simple, small steps and try things out in order to see what works for you. Because as you said, everyone's different.
Right.
You know, you talk about dropping into ragdoll all the time.
Yeah. that's my go-to.
Yeah. I drop my shoulders. I'm all the time dropping my shoulders and loosening my posture. And I tell people to do that all the time as well. I'm always saying, using your words, stress can't live in a relaxed body.
Yeah, that's right. And I teach certain techniques. You teach certain techniques. Mm-hmm. Those are just ones. Now, they are ones. I know the ones that I teach are the ones that have been backed by the research. But that doesn't mean there's not like something very unique that you can do. It's understanding the concept behind that in order for us to truly regulate and get to that place, I call it that zone of resilience, you call it that home base. In order to get to that place, there's a couple things we need. We need safety. We need to establish safety, empirical cognitive safety. Our brain needs to know that it's okay to relax. We are safe. We're not in any empirical danger. And we need a relaxed body. And when we combine those things, and it's interesting because being able to know our body is relaxed means we have to get into our body, what we call that interoception. What is going on in my body? Like, did you even know your body was tense? Did you even know that you were having discomfort or tension or anything? So you have to have safety. You have to have awareness of your body. And then you have to have a relaxed body. But you can do that any way you want to do it. I just love doing the ragdoll. And it works for me. But I know many other people have different ways to do it. But that's the crux of it.
Yeah. I also talk a lot about feelings with our members. And I talk about how feelings feel in your body, because I think everyone feels safe, feeling calm, grounded, settled, productive, happy, all those kinds of things. But I offer to them that it's possible to feel a little anxious and still be safe, to be a little sad and still be safe. You know, if we were to expand your home base and create safety, as you call it, around more feelings, then you are less likely to have these big, huge ebbs and flows in your nervous system. You're able to adapt to situations better and respond to things in a way that you're proud of rather than hitting the candy bowl or the pantry. Yeah.
I agree. The way I teach feelings is that it is separate from nervous system regulation. I talk about, like, within each zone, you are going to have certain feelings. Our goal to have a healthy nervous system is not so that we feel good all the time. It's not so that we don't ever feel bad. It's so that we have the capacity to feel all the feelings. So that I do need to, like you said, I am going to feel anxiety. I'm going to feel sadness. I'm going to feel loneliness. I'm going to feel shame. I'm going to feel nervousness, all these things. If my zone of resilience, if my home base has the capacity, feels safe enough, I can feel all those things without it being a threat to hijack me into a dysregulated state. Like, I could feel anxious and be okay with feeling anxious and just allow the anxiety and go through and process it all. It's when it feels dangerous to feel the feeling, that's when it completely hijack you. And then I imagine hijack you, and then you turn to the vices that you have that make you feel better instantaneously, which for many people is food.
Yeah. I coached a lady not too long ago who cares for special needs foster kids. And so she is running and jumping all day long. And when those kids go to bed, she goes straight into the kitchen to kind of settle her day.
Yeah.
So we talked about that. We talked about her stress response, and we talked about what was happening in her nervous system. And I said, I'm going to give you an assignment. Tonight, before you go to the kitchen, I want you to take a hot shower. Just go take a hot shower. Just feel, concentrate on the water, the warmth, how it hits, how it rhythmically hits your body. And then I want you to come back and tell me how it went. Not only did she take a hot shower, she ended up lotioning. She ended up with bath bombs. She had made it this whole spa experience. And she said, Kathy, I wasn't even hungry when I got out. I felt so much better.
Yeah.
So it's amazing to discover these things that work inherently for you in order to settle you down so you don't have to rely on food or drink or whatever your distraction of choice is. So we have a hot shower movement going on in the membership.
I love the hot shower movement. I'm a hot bath kind of girl. I do the hot bath. But what's also interesting about your example is not only is it a great way to regulate, we talk about proper self-care, which that could be bubble baths. They're not necessarily the be-all and end-all of self-care, but for some people, it can be helpful to have this self-care. But more importantly, I think what I see when I come to my brain of the neuroplasticity piece is you're interrupting a pattern. You're interrupting the pattern of putting the kids to bed, going to the kitchen to feel better, putting the kids to bed, going and eating this. This is a pathway that has been created in your brilliant, brilliant brain, because we know the brain is trying to be efficient. And so it's like, I'm going to help you out. When you're done putting your kids down, you're going to go eat and it's going to feel better. And this is a pattern. You're not even going to have to think about it. It's going to be automatic. And what you just introduced to her is, okay, you know what? But we're going to interrupt.
Yeah.
Right before you go to that kitchen, you're going to go take a hot shower. And literally what that does in her brain is it's rewiring, because now the brain's like, well, we have to go on a detour to take a hot shower. Mm-hmm. And it's unfamiliar. And so it stops and it allows your CEO to come back in once you've had the hot shower. Now, this is different. I've never been here before. So you broke that automaticity. And that is the beauty of neuroplasticity.
Yeah.
Of rewiring your nervous system, rewiring those pathways to do something different.
Yeah. I often talk about a concept Corinne came up with called pause plus permission, which is basically what you're saying. In this, let's say, 10-minute pause, we're going to try something else. But don't worry, if it doesn't work, you can eat.
Exactly.
Okay? Yeah. Right. So you're calming your nervous system saying, don't worry, it's okay if this doesn't work. Mm-hmm. But in this 10 minutes, let's try the hot shower. Let's try a walk in the sunshine. Let's try something else just to see. And then you can evaluate and choose. Mm-hmm. It's a very cool concept.
Powerful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it really speaks to the nervous system. If we think back, and I did a podcast episode on this a while back, how the nervous system needs context, choice, and connection. And we can talk about all those three, and I did on that podcast, but I want to zero in on this idea of choice. If you feel that you do not have choice, first of all, it's going to jack you up. Mm-hmm. And what you do when you say to somebody, okay, we want to try to break a pattern, you can still do whatever it is you're going to do, whether it be eating. I've done it in terms of technology. Automatically reaching for my phone, automatically doing something, wanted to break that behavior, saying, you know what, Leah, you can totally reach for the phone. But before you reach for the phone, stop, pause, maybe have a sip of water, go to the bathroom, do something different. Mm-hmm. And what that does to the nervous system is you're not saying you can't do something or you have to do something. You have the choice. You're going to be able to go back and eat or go back and do whatever it is that you're trying to do. And I think it's that element of choice that really allows your nervous system to calm down and to be like, you know what? I can do it or I not can do it. I can eat or not eat. I get to decide. I get to choose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And knowing that you can make that choice is an empowering place to be. And so many of our members feel disempowered. They feel at the effect of what's going on at work or their family or their relationships. So bringing in the power of choice is so important. And like you said, regulating,
yeah,
you know, it's empowering.
Well, we access choice through regulation. Because the choice is something that, as I call her, our CEO, which is really our executive functions, that prefrontal cortex, that is where it takes place. But to access that, we cannot access it when we are dysregulated. And that's not a choice. That's biology.
Yeah.
That it goes offline when we are dysregulated. So we can't actively make that choice. But when we have that pause and insert some of our techniques of safety, get into your body, relax your body, we're more regulated. Our CEO comes back online and now we can actually make a decision. And we make our decisions based on who do we want to be? How do I want to show up? What's integrity? What's in integrity with my values and my goals and leading in that direction?
Yeah, I love that. You just said something so interesting that I don't think we can say enough. And that's, you said that's biology. Mm-hmm. None of this is, you know, like magic. None of this, it makes you special. This is everybody. This is normal stuff. Yeah. This is understanding what happens to everyone and choosing your ways to manage it. And I think that's so important. I just didn't realize when I first started training, I didn't know any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, and I thought, I'm just a really nervous, anxious person and I can't manage that. Well, no. There's a lot of really nervous, anxious people out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's biology. It's my own individual reaction to stressors.
Yeah. And it's been learned. It's been developed all the way along. I talk about that brilliant little you that brilliant little you who adapted mm-hmm. in ways that you found were to be successful throughout your life in order for you to survive whatever environment, whatever situation, mm-hmm. whatever trauma or adversity you have faced. And we have adapted all the way along. And many of us have adapted to the point where we think it's our personality, where mm-hmm. we think it just is, where we think that, as you said, like, I'm broken, something went wrong. No, mm-hmm. we just adapted. And as you start learning more about your nervous system, you start understanding the wonderful news that your nervous system can learn and can rewire. That's the beauty of neuroplasticity. We aren't set in stone. And we are brilliant and beautiful and resilient. Mm-hmm. And we can just adapt to create who we want to be.
Yeah. You mentioned that when you were talking about habits, habits can be rewired. That's also neuroplasticity. Exactly. I think a lot about my growing up years. I didn't have a lot of trauma, but I had, my mother was a very nervous worrier. Right. And so it could be that I just learned that behavior over time because I saw her do it. And that must be, my mom's doing it. That must be the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And then obviously my life is different than my mom's, but the behavior continued until I realized that the behavior can change. I don't have to have those reactions. Exactly. I can catch it. That's the beautiful thing about the way you teach the nervous system too, is you have those areas of dysregulation that are just above and below the zone of resilience, home base,
mm-hmm. right?
Where you can kind of see yourself begin to dysregulate with your thinking brain still online. Mm-hmm. And so I tell people in our membership all the time, sometimes you're going to have a sensory response that takes you straight above home base.
Yeah.
And CEO is going to go offline. And that's okay.
Yeah.
But sometimes you're going to have a stress response that takes you a little bit above home base and you can bring yourself back. And the more you practice that part, the more you're going to be able to, your brain will offer you different options when you're way mm-hmm. above home base, when CEO mm-hmm. is offline.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, we want to become aware of what our triggers are, so to speak. What are the signs? I call them like my little red flags. Like I always mm-hmm. joke, I say, when I start getting a little bit more sarcastic, I know I'm starting to leave. I don't get outright too rude, but I get that sarcasm. I wanted to touch on what you had said about for yourself growing up. You didn't have a lot of trauma and you didn't have one of the things we did talk about in the training, which I think is really important. First of all, we all have experienced trauma because trauma is not the event. It's what happens in response to an event. And we all have different nervous systems. Mm-hmm. So we are all going to respond differently to different events. But the other thing to take note of is there's different kinds of trauma. And we talked about that primary trauma, something directly happens to you. Secondary trauma is where you're sort of witness of it. And then there's the tertiary trauma, which is just being in the environment. And that's like what you were mentioning. I think a lot of us, we may have grown up with very loving families, or we can't identify something that was traumatic, but you said something there like being around a mother who had a lot of anxiety or a lot of nervousness. Mm-hmm. I also had that. And just by being in the environment is what we call this tertiary trauma. And we see even intergenerationally, it gets passed down. And that's why I think it is, there is some value in going back and just taking a peek. As coaches, we don't necessarily bring people back into their past to dig up their traumas and so forth. But I think there is value in going back to looking at what were some of the stories of our ancestors? What was the environment? What were the things that we were exposed to from our parents? Because without really knowing it, we were sort of soaking in environments and that was shaping our nervous system. And so as you get older and you start to see that, oh, now I am somebody who I'll label as anxious. Oh, it kind of makes sense that this is what I was marinating in my whole life. And this is not necessarily who I am always going to be, but I understand now that this was the influence on my nervous system that brings me to where I am today.
And the beautiful thing about that is that you can tell yourself, thank goodness I know now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not that it was a bad or good upbringing. It's just, I understand now what's happening inside. It normalizes, it even neutralizes to an extent. Okay, this is my reaction. Oh, guess what? I can change it. Mm-hmm. If with practice, with patience, with persistence, I can make these changes. I can make these neuroplastic changes.
Yeah. And I guess with eating and that being what people turn to look back and sort of seeing that story. Like you said, I love that, you know, the first thing your mama did was give you a bottle. And then what were the other stories? I even think of it like with raising my own kids. How did we celebrate things? Oh, that was amazing. You did so great. Let's go for ice cream.
Yes.
And we're going to do, you know, this is such a fun night. We're going to celebrate with cupcakes. And that is a message that we send all along. And so for people to just, I'm sure that's something that you see a lot of, just touching on how was your nervous system shaped around food?
Yeah.
And around regulating around food.
Yeah. 100%. I coach a lot of I deserve it rewards. You know, I didn't make the eighth grade cheerleading team, so my mom took me for ice cream. So ice cream to make you feel better. There's all these things that shaped us. When I was growing up, for our birthday, we got to pick our favorite food for dinner. Well, there's so much food-centered activity in our world and in our upbringing, that pulling that apart and separating it from a nervous system response is a lot of the work that I help people with inside our weight loss group.
Mm-hmm. And also in social media and in media in general, I remember years ago, we used to watch as a family, the Gilmore Girls. And Lorelai, whenever they were sad, she used to say to her daughter, Rory, we're going to wallow. And they would go get a tub of ice cream and we're going to wallow. And I distinctly remember, I actually have pictures of this. It was around Christmas time. I can't remember what was going on, but there was a lot going on in our family. And I said to everybody, we need to wallow. And we went to the grocery store and everybody bought a tub of ice cream.
Oh my goodness.
And we sat and we ate it. Now, when I think back on it, I'm like, oh my gosh, I hope I didn't scar my kids. We did it in sort of a lighthearted way. The kids thought it was a blast. But now that I think more about, like, what was the message I was sending them? What was the message? I'm not going to beat myself up about that. But it was like, this is what we watched. And I thought, yeah, when you're sad, you wallow. And I was trying to reinforce that with my kids. Now, I don't know if any of my kids go out and buy the bucket of ice cream. But I think it is something that we have been taught. Like, turn to food, and food is a comfort. And it works, because it really does work initially.
Yeah. In that temporary way. We also teach that in our membership, we teach that food is to be enjoyed. There's nothing wrong with loving your food. You just want to use it to enjoy, to taste, to nourish your body, not to make you feel better.
Right.
You know,
I need to just go back to my kids and say, if you remember that time we weren't wallowing, we were just really enjoying. I was such a fun mom to let you go out and choose your own.
Right.
I'm going to rewrite that.
Exactly. And a lot of it is rewriting.
Yes.
So you had a fun family activity or you had a wallow. How do you want to look at it from the perspective of today so that you can continue to teach yourself and your kids?
Thank you for coaching me, Kathy. That was
You're welcome, Leah, anytime.
I could talk to you all day. Of course. Thank you for sharing. Just in general, people need to learn more about the nervous system. I will say that even as you learn, I'm sure you're going to vouch for this, it is a journey. There is no destination to get to. I am never going to be at a place where I don't get activated. I am never going to be at a place where I am completely always at that home base. I still get activated, hyper or hypo. And that is part of being human. So this is a journey, but I think it's well worth it to go on the journey to befriend your nervous system.
Absolutely. I often tell my clients that the goal is not to always be at home base. It's to be able to move in and out of home base with relative ease, to recognize when you need to self-soothe, self-care, and create a space to return back to home base. So that's the big message, I think, is there's no perfection in nervous systems. There's awareness and there's action. What can you do to make sure that you're feeling good when you're not feeling good? How do you take care of yourself?
And I think that's why one of the things, like my program's called the Advanced Training in Nervous System Resilience. And people will often talk about, well, isn't nervous system regulation? I'm like, it is regulation. But for me, resilience is this idea of flexibility, of bending and not breaking, of dealing with the hardest times with hope and light. And a healthy nervous system is one that can identify what it needs to do. It can adapt to what it needs to do. It can go up. It can go down. It can return. It is resilient. And that's why I love it's nervous system resilience that we're talking about, not just regulation.
Yeah, I love the word resilient. It's beautiful.
Me too. How can we find you?
Okay. So I work for Corinne Crabtree in the No BS Weight Loss Program. If you want to check us out, we have a free course at nobsfreecourse.com. If you want to go directly to the join page, it's nobsweightloss.com. Just a little teaser, I do a monthly call now and with the entire membership on how to feel the hard stuff without eating. So we do a lot of work. Yes, we do a lot of work on stress. We do a lot of work on grief, anxiety, anything that feels intolerable and sends you to eating. We teach you how to manage those feelings in a way that you don't have to eat over them, that honors the feelings and honors the person you're thinking about that's creating the feelings.
I love it. And I know that I've had a couple of people who have been in the No BS membership join my membership because they've seen, a lot of my work is going to be in the nervous system. So I just love how it supports weight loss, nervous system. Nervous system is everywhere. I'm just passionate about it. I'm so grateful to you to have you on. Thank you so much. Thank you for everything that you do and for everything that you've shared. And I really appreciate it.
Thank you for all the amazing learning and teaching that is only going to help women, men all over the world create better lives for themselves. You're pretty special, Leah. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Building Resilience Podcast. If you're interested in learning a little bit more about managing stress, building resilience, and leading a more purposeful life, then make sure we're connected on Instagram and Facebook at Leah Davidson Life Coaching. You can also subscribe to my weekly newsletter at www.leahdavidsonlifecoaching.com/newsletter. Looking forward to connecting.